It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes with a relentless competitive attitude.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com and the Giants mobile app. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegels with you. It's all presented by the new X Series of scratch-off games from the New York Lottery. Now you can multiply your winnings up to 200 times. Please play responsibly. The phone number is 973-667-1960. We continue our position series today. Jeff and I will dive into the Giants' offensive line, what might be available in free agency, and what might be available in the draft. But first, I want to remind everybody, you can find the Giants Huddle Podcast and Big Blue Kickoff Live and everything else we do in terms of our podcast on the Giants Podcast Network, which is presented by Investors Bank. You can find it on the Giants mobile app at giants.com/podcast and on all your favorite podcast platforms. Mr. Fiegels, good morning. How are you?
Good, John. How are you today? It's a good weekend.
Yeah, good enough. Busy.
Yeah, good.
As you well know, when you have a three-year-old, there really is no such thing as a weekend.
That's right. It's a continuation of our week.
Yes, your time is not really your own, but it was good. It's snowing again. Shocking.
I know. Hey, but it's going to be 50 degrees on Wednesday.
Is it really?
Yeah. So get ready for the melt. It's coming. It's coming. Hopefully this will be the last of the snow for a while, but yeah, so everything's good. I mean, we're in those kind of doldrums of football right now, but we got a lot to talk about, you know, the draft coming up and good subject today. I think we're going to have a good show. Really good. Good offensive line discussion. It's going to be important.
Yes. So let's get into the offensive line, Jeff. And we've talked about this before over the course of this offseason. And I know Paul Dottino is probably a lot higher on the current group and the young guys. And he really thinks that they can kind of just stick with the status quo. But let's take a look at where they're at first. Jeff, taking a look at the roster as we sit right now at offensive tackle. Cameron Fleming was obviously on the team last year. He's heading into free agency. Nate Solder coming off of an opt-out year. He's somebody we'll see if he decides to come back, if he wants to play, if he's going to retire. And if he does want to come back and play, he has a pretty high salary cap hit, whether or not, you know, they decide to try to work on that. You also, of course, have Andrew Thomas, last year's fourth overall pick at offensive tackle. And you have Matt Parrott, who was a Giants third-round pick out of UConn last year. He rotated in, got some more snaps early in the year, Jeff, dealt with an injury late in the year, and didn't play quite as well late in the year or play as often late in the year. So just your thoughts right now at offensive tackle first, where the Giants stand with their current roster.
Well, I think that we know what the left tackle is going to be. Thomas will be there, and I think he did show some improvement as the season went, John. And I think going into year number two, new offensive line coach, I think things are going to be good for him. So I think that was pretty solid on that left side. I think that as we move into the center position, the left guard, we got to have a little bit of discussion there. You know, you look at Lemieux and how he played last season. Not all that great. A guy coming in here, you know, we thought he was going to do better. And they had that rotational system going in there. And Hernandez is, I don't know, I think this is kind of a show it year for the Giants for him and see what happens. So I think there'll be some competition between those two guys, whether they're both going to stay at left, maybe moving forward to the center position. You've got Nick Gates, obviously proved he could play that position after not even doing it ever, John, and he did a pretty good job of it, probably the most consistent of all the guys that played that offensive line position last year. And then on the right side, well, we got a little bit of discussion with Zeitler, what's going to happen with him. We're in the era right now, as we speak, of teams trying to figure out how they're going to get under the cap and how much money they're going to be able to go after. And that's one position that I feel like it's a discussion right now that they're having with Kevin Zeitler. And then the right tackle, Fleming, you'd mentioned, he's going to be a free agent. So whether they're going to have him back or not, but Matt Parrott is a guy that got some playing time last year that I think they've earmarked him to be the right tackle starting position next year. So, you know, where does that lead us to where we're going to talk about the draft? It's depth to me. But I also believe, after really kind of reviewing this morning, John, I do believe that there's going to be somebody, whether it's a free agent or a draft pick, that's going to be starting on this offensive line anew this year. That's just my wild pick, if you want to say something.
Okay, let's take this one position at a time. You agree. You said Andrew Thomas, I'm with you. Starting left tackle. Plug him in. Go
gotta
to war.
Yeah.
Bing, bang, boom. Finished conversation. You hope he continues to improve. He got a lot better second half of last season, and you hope he continues to improve this year.
Yep.
So right tackle is more interesting. And I think ideally, and this is the point that you just made, if Matt Parrott can come out and win this job in the offseason and be your starting right tackle, I think that's what you want. But what level of backstop do you want, for lack of a better word, in case he doesn't make the progress you want and he's not ready to claim that starting job? So is it a Cam Fleming that returns? Are you okay with him being your starter if he needs to be? And then you have the shoulder thing that you have to work out. So how do you think they handle that with Parrott, where you want to give him an opportunity to win the starting job, but you also want to make sure you have something there in case he's not ready?
Yeah, I don't think you could just hand the job to him you can't do that. So they're going to have to create some competition. I don't know. I think that Cam Fleming is a guy that, and I don't know exactly how much the Giants paid him last year. Was it $3 million or something like that, John? But, I don't know if that's going to be an option for them to have him come back and want to pay him that type of money just because of where the salary cap is. So I see this is a position where there could be a free agent acquisition and somewhere in the draft to compete with. I think they want to make. I think Parrott, they want him to be the tackle, and I think that he showed a little bit of, he got hurt, so he was playing a little. He was playing good, and then all of a sudden, he just got hurt. But I feel like that's who they want to play. I think he's developing into a starter, but there's got to be has some competition. So that's where I think they'll go there, John. I do.
All right, then let's move into guard. You mentioned it last year. Zeitler was the one, really consistent cog there. He was at right guard the whole year. I think he only rotated out of a game once the entire year in one game. He took a couple snaps off, and that was it. Mm-hmm. He was a staple there. Yeah. But it started with Will Hernandez at left guard. He had some issues, especially picking up stunts and stuff like that. Then he ended up getting COVID. He gets put on the COVID list. He misses a few weeks. Shane Lemieux steps in, and then Hernandez will occasionally rotate in, but he never really got his job back.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's going to be an open competition to start the year at left guard. May the best man win. But I think then you have to open up the conversation a little bit, Jeff, as to whether or not one of those guys will even compete with Zeitler. And maybe Lemieux and Hernandez are your two guards if something happens with trying to manage a salary cap. So I think that's the interesting thing when you have that conversation about guard.
There's a lot to talk about. I think the easiest positions are the right and the left tackles. I think we kind of have an idea of those, but yeah, because there's so much that comes into it that you mentioned, and really with Zeitler, I think he's the guy. I think he's the one that we're going to have to see what happens here. And I think that it'll happen sooner than later if they're going to make a decision to let him go because of the cap. Let's just hypothetically say that they do that, John. I hope they don't, because you always hate to have anybody lose their job. But we talked about this last week about veteran players have to understand when they sign these big contracts at the beginning, they understand that at the end, they may be a cap casualty. So it's just the way of life in the NFL. But if he was to leave, could there be a possibility here? And I was thinking about this morning. That the Giants go out and, I'm not talking about a first round, but could they draft a center and move Nick Gates back to right guard and then have Lemieux and Hernandez fight it out for a starting position and have one of them be a swing guy where they can go back and forth?
Why not just draft a guard then?
Or just draft a guard to keep him there. I don't know exactly how comfortable they feel about Nick Gates continuing to play center.
I want to leave him there, Jeff. I think he played pretty well last year, right?
Well, I'm all for it. And I guess to me, if I have to look into the draft and see what's better, can I find a center that's coming out of college that actually could play the guard position? Or do I find a super stud guard in this, maybe third round, somewhere around in there? I think that's kind of plausible. But, yeah, I'm with you. It just all depends on what the Giants want to do. But, you don't want to kind of mess with that chemistry of the snapper, the snap and the quarterback, the whole thing there. Because, you've got a year under their belt. And I agree, may not want to switch them around, but I'm just kind of like throwing things out there that could happen. Could you see Nick Gates going to right guard if they found a center that they wanted to start?
I don't think it's impossible. I think they'd be very comfortable putting him there. I think he has a lot of these centers sometimes are a little undersized and they're not strong enough to play the guard spot. I don't think that's the case with Nick Gates. I think he'll be fine there.
No, yeah, I agree. And I don't know we don't know the grade that the Giants gave Nick Gates at the center position. So from what we've seen, he did a pretty darn good job, especially not playing. So year two would probably be exciting for him, knowing that he's got a year under his belt. He knows the system. Daniel Jones is familiar with him, and I think that could work as an advantage. So I do believe that the Giants will draft an offensive lineman, whether it's an interior or a tackle guy. They might be able to play both positions. Because I still think there needs to be some depth. I mean, when you look at this roster, not a lot of depth at that offensive line position. There really isn't.
There isn't. Do you want to do draft, or do you want to do free agency first?
Oh, you know what? I didn't. Let's do free agency because that's how it's coming up first. So let's talk about free agents.
Let's take a look at the free agents on the offensive line. But first, limited Giants season ticket plans are on sale now for the 2021 season. In addition to ticket savings, membership benefits include access to exclusive events, experiences, pre-sales, and more. You can lock in your seats starting at just $100. Call 888-NYG-1925 or visit giants.com/tickets for more information. All right, Jeff, so there are some big guys on the market this year that are very good players, and these are not guys I think the Giants will be in the market for, just because of the salary cap and their needs elsewhere. But I'll throw out the names anywhere just because they're there. Trent Williams, who was a legitimate top tackle again last year after getting out of Washington. He played extremely well last year. Brandon Scherff at guard is a free agent. He's somebody that's been extremely consistent. I can't imagine Washington's going to let him go away, but who knows? Keep an eye on him. Taylor Moten, who was a Dave Gettleman draft pick in Carolina, a second-round pick. He's been their right tackle. He's been a solid player there, just 26. Joe Thuney, and I bring him up because he's a guard, by the way. Yeah. He has connections to Joe Judge going back to New England. Just to call their names out there, Corey Linsley, who's an excellent center for the Packers. He's a free agent. I'm not sure if Russell Okung gets you excited, or Kung, but you know he's had some interesting things to say on and off the field and things of that nature. Alejandro Villanueva, very consistent. He's only 32, but he's a good tackle for Pittsburgh. Darrell Williams, another former Dave Gettleman draft pick in Carolina. He had a bounce back year last year after being hurt for much of the previous two seasons. He was in Buffalo last year. Rick Wagner, who was a guy that signed a fairly big contract before. He's a free agent. And then you have David Andrews as a free agent. Kelvin Beachum, who's kind of could be one of those swing tackles. Alex Mack, who's 35. He's not what he used to be, the center. He's out there. So these are just some of the names. Mike Remmers is a free agent again. Cam Robinson, former first-round pick for the Jaguars. James Hurst, who's been a backup tackle in this league for a long time for New Orleans. Ted Karras, who's a center. He used to be with New England, which is why I bring him up. So there are a lot of guys, Jeff, even past the top of the market, that if you're looking for solid veterans that you'd be okay starting, they're out there. But those top guys, from Williams to Villanueva to Okung to Linsley to Thuney to Moten to Scherff to Williams, those guys are probably going to be out of the Giants' price range.
No question. You're looking at minimum of $10 million for all of those guys going forward, and 10's probably the lowest. We forgot to mention Nate Solder coming out of the opt-out position that he is. So we don't know what the deal is with him coming back. So assuming he does come back, John, where is he going to play in the mix with the tackle position? Will he move over to the right where now we can have that competition that we were talking about earlier between Matt Parrott and somebody else? Maybe that's who it is. But if he doesn't come back, I still feel like they're going to have some competition. They got to have some depth over there and some way to have a competition, but they're not going to be able to afford it. So they're going to have to either find it in the draft, or if we're talking about free agents, go get one of those kind of mid-tier free agents that might cost you, like they did with Cam last year, $3-4 million. That's all they're going to be able to afford, in my opinion. I think that's where they go at it. I think they go for the tackle position.
Which is why, by the way, ideal scenario, Matt Parrott develops to the point where you don't have to rely on one of these one-year, $4-5 million tackles. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's kind of what you want to do, but you have to understand, and you know this, there's injuries in National Football League,
sure,
if you can believe it. And so you got to have a little bit of insurance policy. And I think an insurance policy for the Giants at the tackle position or even at a guard is going to be a free agent guy at a $3-4 million. That's going to be your insurance policy.
All right, and now let's look at the draft, Jeff. And at the top of the draft, you have some very good players. And this is actually one of the deeper classes at tackle that we've seen in a while. You could have probably, you know, six, maybe seven offensive tackles taken in the first 50 picks, which is a lot when you take a look at it year over year. Penei Sewell is probably the one guy that's not going to be available when the Giants select at number 11. He's suspected to be a top 5, 6, 7, 8 pick. He's 6'6". He's 325. He's just a big, strong dude that does a little bit of everything.
I saw a mock this morning.
What, third overall or second?
No. I saw a mock this morning where there was a trade. I think it was – I don't remember who traded up to get one of the quarterbacks. Oh, it was Denver. No, it wasn't Denver. Anyways, but they had Sewell dropping to 11.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that's going to be interesting, right? I mean, that if he's sitting there, you're taking him.
I think you have to.
You have to take this guy. This guy is a man amongst – I mean, he is a beast. It's him and then everyone else below in this draft this year. You know, last year we had the big four, and you can go back and see how that went. But – for this draft.
And Sewell would be right with those guys.
He would be right with those
guys. If not at the top of the list of those four guys last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no, go ahead,
that's
please.
What I did see. I saw a mock today. I don't know where it was from. You know, we go over them so much. But I was like, oh, look at this. And they're like, wow, could this happen? And if that happens, he goes to left tackle and you move Thomas to right tackle. That's what would happen.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think that's why. Though I think, did I leave my notes upstairs? I was watching tape of him this morning. I think I did leave my notes upstairs. Yeah, has he played right tackle at all?
He has played right tackle, but most of it has been from the left side. He's a mauler. And by the way, he is. It doesn't even look like he's running. It's just he moves so smooth. It's unreal.
Yeah, he isn't like the best athlete, but his combination of size with the movement skills he has.
Right.
It's just excellent. It's just very, very good. So now after him, Jeff, this is where it gets interesting because you have a few guys that are probably going to go in between like 10 and 25 in this draft. And I think a couple of the guys are worth talking about. I watched Rashawn Slater from Northwestern this morning. I'll tell you what, he's a little squatty with what you would normally think about for an offensive tackle. And by that, I mean he kind of is built more like a guard in a lot of ways.
A lot of people think that they will move him, whoever drafts him will move him inside.
And they believe that he's going to measure under 33-inch arms. And if that happens, I think he's probably going to get moved into guard. But I got to be honest. I watched him at tackle, Jeff. I think he has better feet than Sewell. I think he gets his hands inside better than Penei Sewell. So it's just a matter of whether or not the high-end athleticism and traits are there for you for what you want out of a tackle position. But I'll be honest with you. Even at 11, I'd probably be okay just picking him. And if he's good enough to start a tackle, great. Or if, Parrott ends up being, oh, he's a really good right tackle. All right, just plug him in one of the guard spots, and you got yourself an all-pro guard right there, and you have your version of Zach Martin just plug him in there and let him go. So Rashawn Slater is a really, really good player.
Yeah, his quickness is what I saw from him on tape. I didn't watch a lot of it, but I just feel like his foot, the way he gets off the ball, his foot quickness, as they call it.
His feet, he's never on the ground, Jeff. You know these offensive linemen that fall? Remember Eric Flowers fell down all the time?
Yes, I do.
Rashawn Slater's never on the ground, ever.
Very natural, and definitely, I think, a better athlete than Sewell. But he's going to be a really good player in this league. For Virginia Tech, folks, that's where he came from. Got a good punch.
Slater's Northwestern, Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Northwestern.
Darrisaw is Virginia Tech. Yep.
Darrisaw is right, the next one on the list. But I feel like, he's a guy that will be able to, like you said, you can pay him a tackle or you can move him inside the guard and you'll be fine.
Now you have your next group of tackles and you have Christian Darrisaw, who you mentioned.
That's your VTech, yep.
He, not the best mover, in my opinion, but a really big dude, 6'5", 314, strong. Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. I have not watched him yet. Elijah Vera Tucker.
Nasty.
Who
dude.
Is a, by the way, he was a guard and he played tackle for the first time this year. I thought he was okay out there.
Who are you talking about, Tevin, or are you talking about Dylan?
I was talking about Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, sure. Yep.
Then you have Dylan Redunce out of North Dakota State. Alex Leatherwood, someone we saw at the Senior Bowl. And then you have a guy like Sam Cosmi out of Texas, who a lot of people have as a top 40, top 50 pick. Walker Little out of Stanford. So you have, like, I just listed, what, six or seven potential, you know, tackles in the first 40 or 50 picks. That's a lot. So honestly, Jeff, most years I wouldn't say this. I think if the Giants wanted to draft a tackle, and again, I'm not sure they do because they probably have a lot of faith in Matt Parrott. That's why they drafted him in the third round last year. You could probably get one in the second round this year if you wanted to wait.
Yeah, and I just think that all of a sudden you look at the roster and look at kind of where you have to – where we can use this word because we're not the people drafting, but where are their bigger needs in that second round? I think you probably would – I wouldn't. But, again, if you decided that you had to or you wanted to, they're there. They're definitely there for the picking because you got a lot of wide receivers. You've got a lot of cornerbacks, the quarterbacks. So by the time you get into that 42nd pick that the Giants have, you know, one of these guys could be sitting there. And depending on how they're ranked, John, the Giants might pick one. You never know.
And I don't want to get the Notre Dame people mad at me because you know how – passionate.
Oh,
those
sure.
Notre
go
Dame
ahead and throw that other Notre Dame name in there.
Liam Eichenberg is another guy that could be a top 50 offensive tackle. And Jackson Carmen out of Clemson, too. So, like I said, a lot of names. All right, interior alignment, very quickly. Mm-hmm. Two guys or three guys maybe that I think could be options for the Giants in round number two if they want to go that way. I mentioned Elijah Vera Tucker. If he's there as a guard in the second round, I take him and I'm going to the bank. I think I might have an all-pro guard there. I don't think he's going to make it that far. The other guy that's interesting is Alabama's Landon Dickerson, Jeff.
He was
a dominant player last year, but he tore his ACL. He's had other surgeries on his legs in prior seasons before that. But he was a dominant center last year. You could play him a guard if you want to, in my opinion. But that could be the guy, if you love him enough, you're okay moving Nick Gates over to one of the guard spots.
Yes.
If you want to take that swing. And Creed Humphrey, by the way, is the other center that I thought was really, really good at the Senior Bowl. So those are the couple interior guys that I thought could be options in round two. But it's not a great interior offensive line class, from what I can tell. I haven't watched a ton of these guys yet, but none of these guys are really jumping out at me. But those are the two that did. Dickerson, Humphrey, and then Vera Tucker, who I think will be drafted earlier because he played some tackle this year.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's some other guys. Wyatt Davis is another one from Ohio
State.
Yep,
that's a good one, yep.
He's a guard. He's projected to be, like, in the second round, so I would throw him in with those other guys. But, you know, Landon Dickerson, he's a guy that I don't know if you remember in the championship game when he went out and took the knee in the final snap.
I know.
That was pretty cool. But this guy was a leader, and you know that anybody that's starting for Alabama, especially on the offensive line, has leadership skills.
Yeah, I saw him interviewed at the Senior Bowl, and he just seemed like an awesome – just like he would have fit in with like Richie Soybert and those guys back
100%.
In 2007.
They're all just they come from the same mold, those offensive linemen. They really do. Creed Humphrey is another guy that I think that will probably be there in the late second to third round. This is just from the research that I'm showing.
Now,
on
Jeff, if Creed Humphrey was there in the second round last year, you would have been all over that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wanted that center. Hey, I wanted a center so bad that they moved somebody else that's never played it into that position.
Yeah,
so that just goes to show you.
Yeah.
And it worked. God bless them. That's interesting. And, you know, Nick Gates did a good job, and I think that he was one of the more consistent guys on that line and at a new position. So, you know, he's going to have a – I hope he comes out and just dominates this year. And if they keep him at center, that's – I think they will, John. We're just kind of talking about all this. You never know what's going to happen. But I agree with you on all the guys. I wouldn't be surprised and if they did take a center because where's the depth at center right now? You don't have it. Right? I mean, I don't think Spencer Pulley's coming back. And so who's your other center now, John? You don't have one.
No.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, center. Pulley could come back as a backup in theory.
Could be. But he didn't play. I don't think he played a snap last year.
Well, luckily because Nick Gates was healthy the whole year. I mean, that was
thing.
The benefit.
That is a really good thing. So maybe if you could get one of these centers in the third or fourth round, I would be happy with that. Because I just feel like the first and the second round picks, I think there's just a better – positional draft picks that you go after other than the center position or the guard.
And just FYI, they do have other guys on the roster too that we didn't mention on the offensive line that I probably should. Jackson Barton, a young guy they drafted, or a young guy, he's been in the league 2 years out of Utah. Kyle Murphy out of Rhode Island was an undrafted free agent last year that you can kind of keep an eye on. Let's see, who else do we have here? I want to look at the future reserve list, just so I mentioned, make sure I mention all these guys' names. Chad Slade is someone that was kind of up and down last year. He's a solid veteran backup that I think is a very helpful player.
I think the Giants like him, too.
Yeah, Kenny Wiggins, a veteran out of Fresno State. He's a seven-year player. So they actually don't have a ton of guys on the future reserve list on the offensive line. So they might want to, they might add some guys there at some point over the course of the offseason.
I think they will. I think that there is going to be one offensive lineman drafted, in my opinion, on the draft this year somewhere. I don't think it's going to be real, real high, but I think it might be between those.
Will it be day three or day two?
I think it'll be day three.
Okay.
I think it'll be at the 76 or the 116.
All
right. One of those two.
Let me ask you this final question, Jeff.
Sure.
And this is, then we'll get to the calls. I know Jason's been waiting. Will the five, and you might have answered this already, but I'll ask it again anyway.
Okay.
Will the five starters week one of the season next year, barring injury, of course, are they on the roster right now?
No.
Okay.
No.
And you think the
most
player, the player that is not on the roster, what position will he play?
I believe he will play guard.
Okay. I think that's a good bet.
I believe, and again, we have to just speculate to have a conversation about this. So I don't want to, you know, have Kevin Zeiler losing his job.
No,
today,
no,
but
of course
the fact
not.
Of the
yeah,
matter is that it's reality. It's just what we talk about as far as teams that need to go after money. This is the way that they do it. So if that's the case, then I believe that there will be a free agent or a draft pick that's going to go in there and play the right guard position, and then the left guard. Whoever doesn't win that one, John, is going to be the backup for both of them.
Yeah, and I interviewed Adam Kaplan today for the huddle. That should be going up tomorrow. And he said that the NFLPA and most teams are thinking between 180 and 185.
Okay. Well, still, that's
right
about
now, so.
$20 million less than it was. So it's
yeah.
still a lot of money.
Yeah, it was 198 last year. And remember, teams were anticipating for it to go up to like 210. So you're basically looking at a drop of, you know, more than $20 million from where they thought it was going to be. So just something to keep an eye on.
And by the way, they do anticipate that bump every year. And of course, last year when they signed the free agents and they, you know, then all of a sudden COVID came around, they've already had earmarked that the 2021 season was going to have more money. But so now, you know, it comes to more of a reality is that they got to go find some money.
Well, what might save it too, Jeff, and Peter King reported this last week that they might try to get these new TV deals done in the next month. And they're asking for a 70 to 100% increase on these deals for most of the networks, which if they get that in their pocket, they can then spread this out over a few more years on the cap, so they might soften the blow a little bit. So we'll see if they're able to do that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that does happen because that'll help the teams with a little bit of, you know, financial help and be able to go forward with it.
973-667-1960. Hey, Giant fans, don't miss out on your chance to experience a premier hospitality experience watching Giant games, world-class concerts in 2021 as a Giant Suite partner. Limited full-season locations are available or place a deposit for individual games. Call 888-NYG-1925 or visit giants.com/suites for more information. The New York Giants and Quest Diagnostics want our fans to come back stronger than ever. Now you can order your own lab test through Quest Direct to get the health answers you need most. Let's go to the calls once again. 973-667-1960. We only have one line, so if it's busy, keep trying. We'll get you in. Jason's up in New Haven to lead us off. What's up, Jay?
Hi, Jay.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're good, man.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I haven't talked to you guys in a while, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, happy you calling in. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just a few points. I think one thing, I don't know if you guys have mentioned it or maybe I haven't heard it. There's a lot of teams that are going to be over the cap or close to the cap. So I think people need to realize, I'm sure you guys know as well because you're the professionals, but a lot of fans need to realize there's going to be a lot of surprising cuts this year amongst the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Giants fans need to worry about free agency at the moment. I think I'm not in the front office. I think we should wait out the first wave of free agency because there's going to be a lot of big names that's going to have to be cut for a lot of teams to be under the cap. And there's going to be a lot of surprising names. So I was kind of wondering what you guys felt about that. And then I have a follow-up.
Yeah, Jason, I agree. I think you're going to see free agency stretch out a lot longer this year where you have better players staying on the market longer because, to your point, there's simply not as much money out there to spend. Now, I do think if the Giants want to retain Leonard Williams, they better do that in the first wave because he's a first-wave player.
Right.
So I do think that's where, if they're going to get involved in the first wave, I think that's where they do get involved in the first wave. I think right. most of the first wave wide receivers are either going to be retained or they're going to be franchised.
Which, by the way, it starts tomorrow.
Yes, and by the way, you're right. February 23rd, that franchise tag period starts tomorrow, which is important right. to note. So, yeah, I agree with you, and I think you can be patient. I think you can have a lot of players that'll be similar to what we saw with Marcus Golden and Logan Ryan last year, where they're sitting there as free agents, you know, maybe not through August, but through June and July, especially since if I had to bet right now, Jason, there'll be no mini camps and OTAs and stuff like that in May or June, that these players are not going to feel pressure to sign early to get in these offseason programs because they're just going to be virtual. So my right. thought is that you're right, and Jeff, I'd like to get your take too. It's going to be a year to be patient, where maybe you can get some of these guys on one-year, prove-it, undervalued contracts in June or July simply because there wasn't enough money for these guys who got cut and maybe are a little bit older to sign long-term deals elsewhere.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen starting tomorrow, we'll get a little bit more clear of a picture.
See, now, I think teams are going to wait to franchise, though, Jeff, because they don't know what the cap is. I don't think teams are going to be willing to put the tag on until they see what the cap is.
Well, I think it's going to be pretty close, though. We're not talking like million, like 50 million difference. But I can see where you're going there. But I do understand that there are. I think there's going to be some surprise cuts. Someone like a Von Miller, you know, someone like that, that out of the blue, you're like, how could they cut that guy? But teams need money, and I think there's going to be some surprises there. But I agree with you. I think that the free agency period is going to be. It's going to be elongated. It's going to kind of go a little bit further than it is. But I will tell you this: the teams that have money. And there are a lot of them. The Jets are one of them. They're going to be very active. They're going to go out and get these guys because, you know what, they're going to be able to. So there's a lot of teams that won't be able to get the guys they want. But the guys that have money, they're going to get the people that they want.
What's your follow-up, Jay?
I have three more points, and then I'll get off the air
sure.
for the caller to get in.
Yep.
My first point is, as far as the – I know a lot of Giants fans have been clamoring to sign both Leonard Williams and Tomlinson. Mm-hmm. I probably would try to put all my effort in signing Williams. I think he's more of a versatile piece on the D-line, and he offers sure. a little bit more than – not that I don't like Dalvin Tomlinson. He's been really good. But I think he offers a little bit more in terms of depth as a chess piece on the D-line. I think Dalvin, his run-stopping ability is probably a little more easier – to get in the draft or maybe like a mid-tier D-tackle or...
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
I don't know if it's in the best interest. And like I said, I'm not a front office, but I don't know if signing two D-tackles to a big contract is really spreading your cap out the right way. So that's my first point.
Real quickly, Jason, I think that Tomlinson, I would like to keep him first. That's just me. But... I think teams are going to go after him. I think he's going to get paid.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure if he is, Jason. And yeah. I think this goes back to your first point, and I guess Jeff and I disagree on this, and that's fine. But I think with so little money, I'm yeah. curious to see if a team is willing to pay top dollar for a guy that's not a big-time pass rusher. So maybe Dalvin says, all right, I can't get my money this offseason, so I'm willing to sign a one-year deal and then try to cash in 2022. So unless, I can see that happening too.
Unless there's a team that has the edges and needs more help in the middle.
No, that's true too.
You know, so
right.
And the guy doesn't miss games. And, you know, he's a heck of a
Absolutely.
Person. So that means something. So we'll see. What else you got?
Absolutely. Yeah. Two more points, and I'll get off the air. Two receivers I would like. I don't think we can afford Allen Robinson. I also don't think Kenny Galladay will be able to afford, and he has kind of an injury history. I would like both. I just don't think we have the cap space for it. I'm sure you guys are well aware of that.
It'll be very tough.
Two names I kind of want to go after, and I'm not comparing the two. I remember Eli's second or third year, we went after Plaxico, which was to me was one of the biggest free agency signings in Giants history.
Sure.
And he wasn't – in Pittsburgh he was good, but he wasn't what he was when he came to us.
Yep.
And I kind of keep coming back to Corey Davis. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of fans are like, he's not a big-time receiver. I really think he could flourish with us. I know he's been a big disappointment. He's picked, I think, 5 overall 3 years ago. And sometimes situations just don't work out for players. Now, I'm not saying he's going to turn into Julio Jones with us, but I really think fans should kind of watch his tape. Has his numbers been eye-popping? No, but I think he really could be a boom to our offense.
Are you willing to pay? Are you willing to pay him, Jason, like 4 years, $60 million?
No, I don't think. No, if he's asking that money, then you kind of move on from that. But
okay.
I don't think he's going to get that. I could be wrong. I'm not an agent, but I don't think he's going to get that kind of big money. But I could be wrong. And then Tyrell Williams from the Raiders. There's been some talks about the Raiders possibly cutting him, or I don't know if they have cut him. I know his first year with the Raiders, he was a big-time receiving threat as far as that number one big, you know, I think he's like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, he's a big dude, yeah.
Yeah, so those are two names I'm thinking about. And then as far as the draft, I heard you guys talk on Friday about the draft, and I don't know who brought it up, if the big receivers are gone and the tackles, I'm kind of circling my wagons around Gregory Rousseau. I know he only played 1 year, but that 1 year in Miami that he did play, he was actually pretty dominant. Mm-hmm. I know some fans are kind of on the fence with him, but, you know, if we sign Leonard Williams and have a Gregory Rousseau, I mean, I think that opens up so much one-on-one matchups, and I think he would be a big, you know, a big boom to our pass rush. And if Michael Parsons is there, I think that's kind of a no-brainer. I think I would take him over any of the receivers. Smith, to me, is kind of slight of weight. I know he's a big playmaker, but I think corners are just going to jam him at the line in the league. And Waddle's another slot. I think he's kind of redundant. So to me, it's kind of Parsons or Rousseau. If you could trade back and get Rousseau, I probably would. But if he's there at 11, I'm kind of getting a JPP feel from him. And want to see how you guys feel, and I'll take it off the air.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the call. All right, a few things there on your last point. I think we touched on the other ones enough. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny he mentioned JPP, and I'm not sure if Jason listened to the show we did last week. That was the comparison that Daniel Jeremiah had.
Yeah, to Rousseau, right?
For Rousseau, because he's so long and he's heavy. I don't think he has the burst that JPP does off the line of scrimmage. His production is pristine. It's phenomenal. But he got a lot of that pressure rushing inside, not outside. So he lined up in nose tackle a bunch on third downs, Jeff. I was watching the tape. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like, I didn't know that before I started watching the tape. I'm like, whoa, why is this guy rushing from nose tackle? It was weird.
Mm-hmm. Which gives him some versatility, which is good.
Yeah, I just don't know if that's going to work in the NFL. But he was just so much more athletic than the college guards, you know what I mean? I'm just not sure if that's something that's sustainable.
Well, you know what? To me, he's a little bit like Leonard Williams. Who, you know, he can play a little outside. He can play a little inside.
Yeah, I think in the pros, though, I mean, he's 6'6", 260. That's
outside.
That's a defensive end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big one. I mean, nowadays,
245, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, is he 6'6"? Is that how big he is?
I think he's 6'6".
I have him down. Yeah, 6'6", 260.
Yeah, he's long, man. He's got – that's why that's the JPP comparison, because he's got those long arms.
Yeah, yeah. Pro Football Focus has him as saying that he can be a movable chess piece for a defense. As a true edge, though, his 2019 tape showed he has a lot of work to do.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. And the other guy that he mentioned, the two wide receivers, see – I see Waddle as not a he might be a slot guy, but he's not a slot guy like Sterling Shepard. He's a different type of slot guy. So
he's more dynamic.
Yeah, he's faster. He's more of a beat you over the top guy, right? And you know, you can throw him a screen, he can run it for a bajillion yards. Sterling Shepard's more that really good at getting separation at the top of the route. He can win deep too, though, mind you. But he's not that doesn't have that same type of explosiveness that Waddle does. And then it's funny, when I watched Devontae Smith, I was trying to find a reason to be worried about him being 175 pounds. The dude killed people at the line of scrimmage all year. Whenever people tried to press him, they failed. So I get it, and I'm all about measurements, I'm all about thresholds and, you know, historical precedent with weights and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm bored with all of that, but I did not see it being an issue on tape, is my point.
And I'm not comparing the two, but when you look at a guy like DeSean Jackson, he's only 175 pounds too. You know, 180 maybe? I mean, now he got hurt a lot, okay? But
And I think, Jeff, if Smith had the career like DeSean Jackson, I think that'd be a disappointment, right? You'd want Smith to be better than him.
100%. Mm-hmm. And I think he will be. I just comparing his frame.
I got you.
A little bit. But you had mentioned this when we were doing our our positional breakdown on the wide receivers for the draft, that he's played the last 2 years, 13 games. So he's durable. He doesn't get hurt, you know. So I think that when you look at his skill set, it's scary. I mean, it is really scary.
No, he can win at every level of the defense, every
100%. And so for somebody like Daniel Jones, and when you hear Dave Gettleman talking about a big play receiver, we need to find one, there you go.
You know, it's funny, Jeff, like both him and Ja'Marr Chase, they can both win at every level of the defense. I think they're both outside receivers. They just win in such different ways. It'll be real interesting contrast to watch to see how those two guys – win in the NFL. Because Smith is much more quickness, speed, you know, that sort of stuff. Ja'Marr Chase is just powerful. Yeah. Like, he will manhandle you. You know, he's kind of like DeAndre Hopkins. Like, you watch DeAndre Hopkins, like, running routes on tape, you're not wowed by how quickly he's coming out of his breaks or his straight-ahead speed. But the dude just does everything at such a high level. And then he's physical on top of that, where if you try to, like, you know, bump or get physical with DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to, like, deposit you and just say, get out of my way, little man. And that's the type of stuff that Ja'Marr Chase does, where the corner might be able to stick with him from a speed perspective. But I guess is the best way I could put it. Devontae Smith having a foot of separation is fine, but Ja'Marr Chase having a foot of separation is like a regular receiver having 3 feet of separation because he's able to take advantage of that with his physicality in a lot bigger way. You know what I mean?
100%. And I tell you, that for the things that you were just talking about is why I like Rashad Bateman. He's 6'2", 210 pounds, a big receiver, tough, physical, a guy that doesn't drop passes.
And he's not as physically gifted as Chase.
No, he's not.
Like, he's almost like Chase, but you, like, take him down a notch or two. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and my point is, it could Bateman somehow, some way be there? He's not going to be there at 42. There's no way.
Well, Jeff, I got to tell you, here's what you do.
Maybe he does.
You hope they run him on a 40-yard dash on a slow surface. If he runs like a 4.6,
sure,
he could be there.
Yep, you're right.
Or 4.58 or something like that. That might scare people away.
The measurables might scare people away, but his play doesn't scare me away. I really like him a lot. I just think that somebody's going to get a good receiver in him. What were you hearing about him? At least I think so.
No, I agree. I liked what I saw on tape. Yeah, I did. I was just impressed by, I think his craft at the position is very strong.
His release,
at the top of the route, he creates separation. He's a bigger guy. Again, the physical tools are not going to wow you, but he knows how to play the position. Remember how I loved Michael Pittman last year?
Yeah,
he reminds me a lot of that. Now, Michael Pittman was, I think, what, 6'4"? I think Pittman.
Big dude, yes.
So he's not quite that, but the same way he knows how to get open was the same way Pittman knew how to get open.
Yeah.
And good hands, too, by the way. It doesn't drop anything. 973-667-1960. Hey, Giant fans, get a New York Giants checking account from Investors Bank with a Giants-branded debit card, security features, and discounts at the Giants online shop. You can earn up to $250 when you open an account at investorsbank.com/Giants. Member FDIC. Back to the phones at 973-667-1960. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, John, Jeff, this is Antonio from Manhattan. How are you guys doing?
Antonio, good, what's up, man?
Doing good. I'm just a little bit confused. I feel like I'm, like, by myself in this ship where I'm just like, why does everybody want either a defensive end as the first round pick or possibly a tight end? And when I hear the tight end, I almost fall off my chair every time, because we have currently right now a top 10 tight end in our position, and it's not that impactful. It's just not an impactful position.
Antonio, time out 1 second. I am going to yield the floor to the number one Kyle Pitts stan on our air, Jeff Feagles. Jeff, take it away, sir.
It is an impactful position because it's not what it used to be. So that position is so important to offenses. Just look at the guys. Look at around the league. Who are the stars of this league? A lot of them are the tight ends. So I think that's why I'm excited about this Kyle Pitts guy, because I feel like he can bring that position, the tight end. He can bring you – he could play a receiver position. He's a better blocker than most people think. He's not a big dude. He's only 240 pounds, 245, but he's 6'6". So and to answer your question with why everybody wants a defensive end or an edge rusher, you got to put pressure on the quarterback no matter what team you're with. And the Giants particularly have to. What's that?
We only had eight less sacks than the Super Bowl champions last year.
Well,
just eight.
Okay, but
and then that was with our first string, second string, third string edge rushers hurt. So I'm sure that if we had them guys, we would have those 8 sacks in the year. We didn't have Carter or X-Men. We didn't have Xavier for the entire year almost. So I think that we don't have to worry about picking so high for edge rusher. Now, what I do think that we should address, and I think it would be more impactful than a tight end, than an edge rusher, would be either a linebacker that can move from sideline to sideline. We just saw what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have that we don't have, and his name is White. He can move. He can go from sideline to sideline. And we also need a corner to play opposite of Bradbury. Now, we haven't had the best luck at first-round corners, but it's still I would feel more comfortable taking my chances over and over and over at a corner than I would with going with a tight end that, listen, if it's not, and just think about it, the tight ends that you're looking at the league that are all top tight ends, they weren't drafted in the first round. And unless you have, and you know for a fact, you're getting the replica of Gronkowski at the first overall pick, and I still wouldn't do it anyways. I'll let somebody else do that. I'll be like, hey, listen, if you want Gronk, go get him. To be honest, it's the same thing about Saquon, hindsight 2020 now, but even if Hall of Fame, he could be a Hall of Fame running back from here on out. But it's like, listen, there's just, it in the position itself, there's more value going after a cornerback, middle linebacker, quarterback, than it is going for running back, tight end. You know, that's just what I feel about that. And then one thing I'll tell you guys also is we need to bring in here somebody of quality backup to back up Jones or to even try to give him competition. I don't know what they have this kid listed in the mock draft, but I kind of had a really good feeling about the Notre Dame's quarterback, Ian Book. If he's in the third round or something of that sort, the Giants definitely should bring him in because this kid works the pocket. He don't have the best arm. I didn't like his arm too much, but I loved how he worked the pocket. And I just think the Giants need to bring somebody competitive, either free agency or in the draft, and not just bring like some old veteran there to back up Jones. And that's all I got, guys.
Hey, Antonio, real quick, I just want to point one thing out to you real quick on the tight ends, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This past year, the teams in the Super Bowl, one had Rob Gronkowski, one had Travis Kelce. The year before, one had Travis Kelce, one had George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, one had Rob Gronkowski. The year before, one had Zach Ertz, one had Rob Gronkowski. So you go back, and even going back to the Denver-Carolina blowout game, you know, the Panthers had Greg Olsen in that game. So, you know, there have been some pretty impactful tight ends that have helped their teams get to Super Bowls over the course of the year. So if you are – now, again, there are no guarantees in this world, and I understand a guy like Kelce wasn't a top 15 pick. You're right about that. I'm not making that argument. But if you can get if you can get yourself Shannon Sharp or Tony Gonzalez, that is a much more impactful position than, in my opinion, the running back spot. That's all I'm saying.
And that the other thing with Kyle Pitts is you're almost getting two for one. Then that's my point. I mean, a lot of people aren't big fans of drafting tight ends in the first round, but the point that John just made, along with his ability to play the wide receiver position too, so now you can use him in a little bit more of a variety, and that's what's attractive to him, at least for me.
Yeah, and in terms of the edge rusher, I think Antonio's downplaying the need for an edge rusher, Jeff. I think this defense does need somebody that requires the other team's attention. Despite the fact they had their 40-plus sacks last year, I didn't feel like I was confident enough that this team could just send four guys after the quarterback and get home. Mm-hmm. I thought there were too many times where if you didn't blitz, the guy was sitting back there and doing whatever he wanted with the ball. So I would, and again, do we really think Leonard Williams is getting 11 and a half sacks again?
I hope so.
Well, yeah, we hope so.
It may not be for the Giants.
But I think in general, expecting him to get double-digit sacks 2 years in a row from the defensive tackle spot is probably asking a lot. So I think you do need to add a more consistent edge rusher. Now, whether that's more or less important than a second cornerback or a weapon on offense, that's a different conversation. But I do think a more consistent pass rush where you don't have to blitz to generate that pass rush is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And, you know, and by the way, if you could get a little bit of pressure on the outside, it's going to free up a little bit of those guys on the inside that they've been getting double teamed. You know, Thomason gets double teamed now. You know, so take a little – if he's back and Leonard Williams plays the inside position like he does, take some pressure off of those guys. You know, and then the other guys, they're going to have to pay attention to the outside rush, and then that opens up a little bit for the guys in the middle. They get a little piece of the pie, John.
No, they do. And look, that's why, you know, I wonder what the cost on Leonard Williams is going to be. We'll see. But as the guy who really, I'm not going to say the only guy, but the guy who won most consistently one-on-one and have required double teams in the passing game, mm-hmm. I think if you lose him, then you're going to have to do something else in terms of pass rushers. So you'll have to figure that out one way or the other. 973-667-1960. Back to the phones. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. That's Woody from Walton. I've been on a few times.
Woody, what's up, man? How are you?
I've been having an absolute ball with this CFS draft simulator. I've probably done it 100 times.
I don't know if you heard of me on the radio or the show last week, but I got an. They gave me an F. They gave me an F for Rousseau when I drafted him in the first round. What's up with that thing?
Of course. What Jeff's not saying, he drafted a Miami player in every round, which is probably why they gave him an F.
It was just on the player.
I got a minus on my overall grade here, and I did draft a couple Miami players, Jordan and Quincy Roche.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I did the anti-Gettleman draft because none of the guys were there that I wanted when we came up at 11.
Who did you take, Woody, at 11? What was your first pick?
Well, like I said, I did the anti-Gettleman draft. I traded back 5 times before I took my first pick.
Oh, so you got a lot of picks. How many did you come out with then?
13.
Wow.
5 second rounders, 5 third rounders, and 3 fourth rounders.
Boy, you are having fun with that thing.
Oh, wow. Absolute ball. And I figured you go with the – we made mistakes on first-round picks. Yeah, Eric Flowers, Eli Apple, DeAndre Baker. So I thought, you know, there's mistakes made there, and I wanted to go for quantity, like the Patriots seem to always trade back and get more picks. Well, I still came up with some pretty good players. Carlos Basham Jr. for my first pick, Terrence Marshall. Still ended up with Nico Collins later, Creed Humphrey.
All right.
You know, oh, well, you got some good ones. Yeah, you got a good receiver. We like Terrace. That was Terrace, not Terrence, right?
Yes, Terrace, yes, correct.
Devin Jordan, too, there, buddy.
Okay.
But, yeah, I came up with some corners. I mean, I ended up with two corners in the second round, wide receiver, an edge guy. You know, I came up with Javonte Adams, also from North Carolina, the halfback.
Well, Woody, out of curiosity, Woody, you said no one was there. You wanted an 11. So I'm guessing all 3 receivers and Pitts were all off the board. They were all gone?
Yep, all of them gone.
Did you have all the quarterbacks?
I've probably done it 100 times. Only one time has there been the receiver from LSU there. Out of that, how many times I've done it?
Oh, boy.
Pitts has been there a few times, which I pray he's there. I wouldn't do all this trading back if he was there. I'd run to the podium and press.
I will tell you, it is a fun little exercise to do.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play around with it yet.
It is fun. And make sure you put the speed way up. You know, because it picks for you. There's a speed monitor on there. So you want to put that speed all the way up so it picks really quickly. Or you'll be sitting there going, 1, 2. It takes forever. But it's a lot of fun.
And it's funny the amount of trades you can do because you offer trades and they don't necessarily have to take them if they don't like it, just like the other guys. So. And it's funny, sometimes you think, well, are they going to take this or not? And it's funny that then I keep seeing all these guys that I like go to the Cowboys, the pick before us. every round.
All right, Woody, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks, Woody.
Well, have a good day, guys.
Yeah, you too, man.
You too.
So Woody got the Paul DeTino effect. That's going to drive Paul nuts. I mean, remember last year when the Cowboys traded up and drafted Tyler Biadasz right before the Giants
right
were going to pick?
What was that,
round 5, I think, right?
I think he crawled through the Comrex that day. when that happened, I remember he was so mad. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you going to do? This isn't your draft. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's nothing you can do about it, Paul.
In his mind, it was his draft, though, Jeff. You have to understand how Paul's mind works.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just and, you know, the quarterback for Notre Dame, I think he's a guy that's, you know, he's going to be a late round. You can probably pick, if you wanted to go for a quarterback, you probably might be able to get him in the sixth or seventh round, John. Don't you think?
Fourth or fifth.
Fourth or fifth. Okay. Just because he's with Notre Dame and moved up a couple.
Yeah, I mean.
He had a great career at Notre Dame.
No, he did. And look,
didn't do well at the Senior Bowl.
Here's my question. My guess is that teams evaluate it and say, all right, he could be a good long-term backup for us. Where do you value drafting a long-term backup?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't because I look at a Kyle Arletta. I just, that was a wasted pick in
Jeff,
my opinion.
Me personally, I would not pick him before the fifth round. The fifth round is the earliest I would take him, and I might not even, I'm with you. We're the opposite of Lance Meadow here, who loves his backup quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Lance is obsessed with like veteran backups at every position. That's not, because look, to me, this is how I look at it. 98% of the time, and look, there are your exceptions like the Eagles. I get that. 98% of the time, your starting quarterback goes out, you're finished anyway. So yeah. I'm not that concerned about having this, like, you know, good backup, because look, Andy Dalton was the best backup quarterback in football last year, probably, right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah. How much did that matter to the Cowboys when Dak Prescott got hurt?
Well, it towards the end it did, because they almost made the playoffs. Right? I mean,
right, but they only made the playoffs because the NFC East was such a debacle.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, I get that. Nick Foles was another guy, but they paid him $11 million that year, right? So the Giants, in my opinion, I would not draft a backup quarterback and waste that pick. I'm going for a free agent, and I would go for a veteran, John. I would go for a veteran, but I'm not paying him $11 million. You know, I'll pay him the league minimum and,
right,
you know, and have him come in and back up, because I agree with you. Once your starting quarterback goes out, all bets are off, right? I mean, unless you have a guy that you're paying, you know, like the 1 year where Teddy Bridgewater was backing up Drew Brees.
Right, right.
Okay, that's a perfect position for you. I mean, if you can afford it. But that's not what the Giants are going to do. They can't afford anything. So they're not going to have a $5 million backup quarterback for Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know the argument is, all right, if they miss three games, can your backup keep you afloat for three games? And yeah, I get that, but to me, I'm not going to spend draft capital or a lot of money on that, because I feel like I can, like for example, Taylor Heinicke, right? Mm-hmm. He turned out to be really good,
yeah,
in that playoff game. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't think a lot of times the money spent there is, who is the backup that the Eagles paid all that money to? He went to Chase Daniel. Like, do you think the Eagles are really happy that they paid Chase Daniel all that money? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
And by the way, he is a perennial backup for all his career. Look at Chase Daniel's made so much money being a backup quarterback because he started some games and done well, and then people, like, put credence in that. Oh, my God, he's the perfect guy. He can get us through three games.
Didn't Mike Glennon get a lot of money to be a backup somewhere, too?
Mike Glennon got a lot of money to be a regular quarterback for Tampa Bay
Yeah, but I think after that, then he got signed to be a backup. It's just like, guys, why are you doing
he's
this?
I think he's still on the roster somewhere.
Yeah. No, he is. He absolutely is, for sure.
What about Gabbert? I mean, Blaine Gabbert? I read an article a few weeks ago that they were saying that he's going to replace Tom Brady sooner or later. Blaine Gabbert?
Wait,
come on.
Seriously? Who wrote that? Yeah,
I don't know, but I'm thinking to myself, seriously?
I want
to
have what that guy's drinking. Holy jeez. All right, we got one more call, Jeff. Let's get to him real quick. 973-667-1960. Caller, you can wrap us up today. What's your name? What's your calling from?
Hey, Charlie from
Charlie.
Boston.
Charlie, you're going to have to be really quick today. That's too
Monday.
Bad.
Aww. That's all right. I had a call for offensive line.
Okay, go ahead.
I had to do it. Hey, remember, we just put a guy on future reserve called Jonathan Harrison.
Oh, yeah, the center. That's right. Yeah, by the way, the reason I did not list him, Charlie, is that has not been made official by the team yet, I don't believe. So he was not on the team roster website, which is why
I did not see that either. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's a veteran center. He's going to be the backup for Gates. Or if this guy plays and he started games, maybe they're going to move Gates into the guard spot if they think this guy can handle the center position. But if at least they've got a backup now. Definitely not going to be there. So this guy is a good center. He's 6'4". He's a big dude. He's the kind of guy that they like for a center. And just talking about the O-line, right, I think there's going to be a lot of changes. I think there's going to be three changes on the line. Doesn't mean one guy might be changing position, but I think there's going to be three different changes.
What spots?
I think Solder's coming back. He wants to play. You know, in his interviews, he said, I felt like I let the team down, the players down, because I didn't play. So you can see this guy wants to make some amends in his own head, and he wants to play. So I think he's going to be, you know, he could be on the right side, or they could move Thomas on the right side, Solder back on the left side. You're going to have, if they get rid of Zeitler, which I wouldn't do, but if they did.
I think it would be very hard under the cap trolley to keep both Solder and Zeitler. It would be difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think they'll restructure. Mm-hmm. I think if Solder really wants to play, he'll restructure. Unless he thinks his agent thinks that he can get with a good team, you know, a team that can get to the Super Bowl, then maybe he'll do that. But. So I think, they'll restructure his. That will make it real friendly. And Zeitler, they could do the same thing with him. But if they get rid of Zeitler, then that's when, you know, Gates could move over, or they'll definitely draft a. I want my guy Liam Dobson coming in and being the Mr. Pancake guard, on the line. But I see, like, three different spots changing. And you got a new offensive coordinator. And hopefully,
offensive line coach.
If we have a normal training camp, fairly normal, and we actually have a couple preseason games, you're going to have a lot of competition. There's going to be a lot of competition on that offensive line. Because remember, we were like 31st or 32nd in the league. Yep. We were horrible. So it wasn't like our line was like good. So I see a bunch of changes. And on our draft position, number 11, if Justin Fields drops down to 11, and he's available, I would take him in a heartbeat, because you need competition for Jones. You've got to have competition for this guy, because we don't know if he is the guy or if he's not the guy. I mean, I think I do, but Giant Nation doesn't know. So you bring a guy like him in, he's not going to cost a lot of money, and he's got a lot of upside. To me, he's like a Russell Wilson. That's who I see him as. And if he's there, that's the guy I'd take.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, guys.
He was making some good points on me. He was making some decent points on the offensive line until he got to the 11th pick in the draft thing. Look, here's
yeah,
what...
Yeah, you expect that.
But. Yeah, here's my closing statement on the offensive line, Jeff. This is how I kind of look at it.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless there's significant improvement, and there could be, they're all young players... I don't feel great about just plugging and playing Lemieux, Hernandez, and Pert next year. I need to see improved play from those guys to feel very comfortable with them as high-level starters. And I think that's how I kind of look at it. Because to me, we talk about the weapons a lot. To me, the pass protection also must be better. Charlie mentioned it. The Giants' pass block win rate last year was bottom two in the league. It was not good. So they need to get better protecting the passer consistently. And we saw it when the team had to throw the ball at the end of the year, they still couldn't protect. Whether it was the end of that Cardinal game, there was one of the game, I don't remember which game it was, but there were a couple at the end there where you had the Browns, I think, was the other one. And you had all sorts of issues late in those games protecting when you knew you had to throw the ball. So, to me, I think you do need improved pass protection next year. However you go about getting there, whether it's internal improvement or new players or whatever, you do need to protect the quarterback better next year to get a better feel for what Daniel Jones can do.
I think it's both. I think it's internally what there was there last year, but I think it's depth. You're going to have to bring in some guys, and they're going to – it's either, through the draft or some free agent that we talked about earlier, and create competition because – you got to have depth, John, and those guys, they do have to play better.
Yeah.
I believe that the Giants believe in that offensive line that's there, but I don't think they're totally sold on them.
Well, yeah, I think
they're trying to find that.
Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
I'm saying I think they do. I believe that they are confident that these guys can do the job, but they want to make sure if they can't, that they have somebody possibly that can take over if they can't do that.
Yeah. By the way, I think
that's
those guys
through free agency.
Yeah, I think those guys have the physical ability to do the job too, Jeff. I just think they need to get there and realize their potential,
Sure, but what I believe helps that is competition. I want, and the one thing that Joe Judge has not been shy about is rotating these guys in and out. So, just because you have a starting job doesn't mean that you're going to be there next week And so that's how you get better from fear. You know, you're fearful to lose your job, and you compete and you get better. I believe those guys can do it. Lemieux has a long ways to go, but remember, he was a fifth round draft pick for a reason. So there was some, sure, you know, some things in his repertoire that needs to get a lot better. So we'll see.
All right,
what
Jeff,
happens.
Good stuff,
you know,
my
Matt
friend.
Matt Pert is a guy that they're. Yep, you got it, Johnny. Thank you for the callers. Have a good day, everybody. Stay warm.
Finish up on Pert, Jeff. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, that's I think he's a guy that they're really excited about, and he's going in the right direction, and he's going to be their long-term answer at that right tackle position. You hope so. But if he doesn't, then you better have somebody behind him that can play.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being with us today. Thank you, Jeff, on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by the New York Lottery. Of course, it's a new X series of scratch-offs games from the New York Lottery. You can multiply your winnings up to 200 times. Please play responsibly. And folks, remember, the Big Blue Kickoff Live is part of our Giants Podcast Network, presented by Investors Bank. You can find the archive of this show and all of our programs at Giants.com/podcast, the Giants mobile app, and your favorite podcast platforms. For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Stay safe out there, everyone.